number 95. Welcome to These Fantastic Worlds, the science fiction and fantasy podcast by Jake Jackson. This week's episode is a dark tale of psychological terror, a mansion, a sculptor, and a desperate friend. It's called Obsession. "But he loves me," Josephine whispered, leaning into her friend who travelled up from the big city. They were tucked into a corner close by the door of the little cafe. "Is this what you call love? He's sitting over there staring at me." Camille looked nervously towards the waiter who served an older man sitting in the bay window, the sunlight barely touching his skin. "Well, he literally swept me off my feet. Here, in fact, this lovely coffee shop in the middle of the high street." "High street," Camille scoffed. "More like a collection of random living rooms. What do you mean, literally?" "Oh, he was so lovely. I was queuing for my coffee. I'd had a really bad time in the previous months. No job, no money. My parents had passed away. They used to live here, so I was stuck in a place, their place, I didn't know, with people who didn't know me or particularly like me. An outsider, I suppose. Oh, yes, made it very clear to me. Sometimes I'd stand in a queue for groceries, or here even, and they'd serve the person behind me, a local, and all chatty like I didn't exist or didn't matter." Josephine allowed her eyes to dip at the memory. "But Jojo, oh, don't call me that. He doesn't like it." "But that's what you've always been called. He says it demeans me, takes away from my proper name, my birth name." "Uh-huh. You were saying how you met?" "Oh, yes. I finally managed to get served here and somehow tripped. My coffee sort of flew into the air and my sandwich. But he, well, he was just behind me. Stopped me from falling, stopped my coffee too."
"Sounds like a real knight in armour."
"Well, he was. I could feel the sniggering from some of the tables, but he just scooped me up and sat me down." Josephine's cheeks puckered and swelled, caught between the tears and the joy of the memory. "And that was it. He's looked after me ever since."
"Looked after you?" Camille reached out her hands across the small table.
Her friends were just a few inches away, but they both felt uncomfortable and withdrew, their eyes glancing across the cafe to the man in the bay window with his black eyes, staring at them still.
Camille paused. "Worried about you. You look pale. I've never seen you sit so tired. And your clothes, they look like something out of the 1950s.
My mother's. He says they're appropriate for me. I can't afford new, and the money he gives me just about covers our food."
"He gives you? You've still not got a job?"
"No, I didn't mean to stay here so long, and anyway, there's no need. We get by."
"What does he do?"
"He's a sculptor."
"Oh, well, at least that's interesting."
"Yes, he makes these large human figures. His house, it's full of them."
"Must be a big place."
"Yes, I suppose. The staircase is wide and has these little landings all full of statues that stare at me when I go past them."
"Do you live there then?"
"Oh, no. I go to help him out. Sometimes I stay there if it gets too late."
"What do you mean, help?"
Well, I tidy up his materials, clean up when he's done."
"And I suppose you cook for him as well?"
"Oh, yes, it only seems fair."
"Right." Camille leans back and appraises her old friend, a woman she'd known since childhood as independent, lively, full of hope.
"Perhaps you might take a break?"
"Oh, no. I wouldn't want to leave him. He really needs me at the moment."
"Come, come. Come back with me. Just for a little while. The rest of the day," Camille whispered, but saw her friend's eyes widen.
"What's all this, then? Plotting away?"
The older man had sidled up to the table, out of Camille's sight. Later she would remember the voice was sinewy, seductive, and his hands were strong and wide. He gestured subtly to Josephine, who immediately stood up. Her small glossy handbag clutched in front of her, she bobbed slightly and offered Camille a tight smile. The man had already turned towards the door of the cafe.
"Well, thanks for coming to see me."
Without looking back, she threaded through the tables and followed the older man into the street. It was the last time Camille and her warm-hearted, delightful Josephine would meet.
I told you she was up to no good.
The older man, the sculptor, half growled, half whispered to Josephine as he strode down the street, trying to take you away from me.
She wasn't. She's just an old friend. She's concerned for me.
Josephine scuttled behind, almost tripping along the dusty roadside as they returned towards the end of the high street, where the old mansion sits, waiting for their return like a huge, emboldened rat. The sculptor stops and turns.
Why would she be concerned?
Oh, no reason. She's...
What did you say to her?
His voice lashed within the malevolent, ancient wind of the countryside.
Nothing, nothing.
But she has no right to make judgments about a person.
Of course, I'm sure she meant nothing by it.
I don't want to have to make her pay.
No, oh no.
You wouldn't want that, would you?
Oh God, no.
Indeed, God, no. I think we have some work to do tonight, you and I.
Oh, of course, whatever you say.
That's right, whatever I say. That night, Josephine and the sculptor carried out a familiar evening routine. She prepared his tools, the stone chisels and the hammers, the clay and the quick dry mix, pushed the stone blocks into place, just delivered, and kept herself busy. Winds that had lingered during the day now squalled in the night, rattling at the windows, chasing around the mansion. Just after midnight, as the winds rose to a storm, the sculptor gestured to Josephine. She removed her clothes, as she often did, and wandered over to him, noting that he had prepared the stone, that the base was now hollow. He poured them both some tea from the chipped pot and watched her sip demurely, his eyes black and fixed upon her as she stood, sipping dutifully. Observing that her eyes drooped and her breathing had slowed, he gestured to her once more. He took her hand tenderly, then the other, and as if in a dance they moved towards the stone block. He helped her into the hollow base he'd just completed, and she stood silently, her head bowed, as if newly returned from some ancient palisade, her arms by her side, her left leg bent slightly forwards. The sculptor stepped back and regarded his companion. He walked around her, then rolled his sleeves and plunged his large hands into a vat of clay. He pulled out balls of sloppy, quickly drying grey matter and spread it across the uncomplaining Josephine, smearing it across her feet and her legs, upwards across her naked form. Soon she was covered in thick layers, with just a hole to breathe through, her eyes closed and her hair encased as a bun. The sculptor stepped back and admired his work, the latest of his statues, the final stage in the subjugation of Josephine. He made to complete his task, to kiss the fleshy lips of the sculpture, to steal the life, as always, from his muse. But the winds outside persisted. The storm clattered at the windows and the walls, trying to break their way in. This night, even the sculptor looked a little nervous. For decades, he had created his work, preparing his subjects with his special tea, the one his mother had made for him before she had become his first sculptor. But this Josephine, she had been different. She'd shown signs of leaving. He had had to act before he was ready. Another winds assailed the house and broke into his mind. The huge window of the studio shook and his normally steady jaw tensed. The next morning, Camille had decided to visit her old friend one last time, determined to free her from the grip of this sculptor. She went to Josephine's little cottage, her parents, but found it empty and untouched. A reluctant neighbour told her that Josephine was likely to be in the old mansion at the top of the high street.
The artist fellow, she'll be with him, always is.
The woman shuffled off, muttering about incantations and curses. Camille rushed off and back to the high street, then walked towards the mansion at the end, anxiety fueling her stride. As she came closer, she saw only a ruined garden, and a large once grand house. Every window, every door had been blown in. It looked uninhabited, broken. A tree had collapsed against the side. She pushed at the open front door and found herself in a hallway with light filtering in from a dilapidated ceiling, dust and flies turning slowly, and a staircase where several large-sized sculptures lay scattered. She heard a door bang and rattle. Her eyes followed the sound, and she pushed into a room with a huge window. A tree had smashed through. The room was devastated. The wind and the rain had followed in and taken their toll. In the centre of the room, a sculpture had toppled and broken. It lay spread across the floor in a rubble of white and grey stone, bathed in the morning light. And underneath, crushed, the body of the sculptor sprawled, his grizzled skull smashed too, his dark eyes gone, as if life had been denied him at last. Well, that's a troubling story. Have you ever had a friend who you knew was in trouble but wouldn't let you help? I know I have. Perhaps it's comforting to know that there might be forces of karma out there to help instead. Anyway, thank you as always for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. This is Jake Jackson. I'll see you next time. Goodbye.